Okay, so we just went through the Mortgage Web Success launch. Now, this was an internal launch where we weren't using JV partners. One of the real beauties of internal launches is that you control everything from start to finish. You control all your emails. So in other words, like if you were doing this launch as, say, a JV launch, and remember, we took almost a month here to launch this thing. And if you have partners that were mailing at the beginning of the launch, and partners that were mailing a week into the launch, and partners that were mailing 2 weeks into the launch, and partners that were mailing 3 weeks into the launch, then all those people coming into the launch would be coming in at various points, and they would be exposed to varying amounts of your pre-launch material. And that's fine, and we can work with that, but it doesn't have the pure all the control, the pure symmetry of a launch doing it to your own list. In reality, when you're launching to your own list, some people are not going to be paying attention early on, and they're not going to clue into what you're doing until later on. But still, the really nice thing about it is you do have a lot more control. Now what I want to do now is go back and look at our overall trigger strategy and timing of those triggers, and what we're doing throughout the various phases of the launch, and then show you how we did that with the Mortgage Web Success. Now, we already went through it step by step. Now I just want to take a look at the big picture of exactly how we did it. So remember, in the pre-launch, the number one thing we're doing is we're identifying the offer and we're gathering objections and proof. Then in the start of pre-launch, we're focusing on their frustrations and their aspirations. Then in the mid pre-launch, we're just hitting some of the triggers, and this is sort of, it isn't as well defined as what we're doing right at the beginning of the pre-launch and the pre-pre-launch. Then the week before the launch, we start to we shift to focusing on the product. And then on launch day, we're typically coming back with scarcity and social, or we're using social proof and scarcity. Then later on the launch day, we're looking to email a second time with the tsunami moment. And then we sort of get into this period the day after the launch and the couple days after the launch that aren't quite as well defined. Then at the end of the launch, we're shifting the focus to scarcity. And we're really starting to hone in on the end of the launch. And then remember, we talked about something bad happening if they don't act. So now let's go back and look how we did that. Because, you know, we send out a lot of emails. There's a lot of steps in this Mortgage Web Success launch. But if you really look at it, it was a very, very simple launch. I mean, we put out a bunch of email. We put out a PDF report. And we put out a couple of videos that did nothing but really walked people through the product. So one of the reasons that I picked out this Mortgage Web Success launch to show you as the first launch where we really walked through was part of that simplicity. It really, there was a lot of steps, a lot of email, but it wasn't super complex. There wasn't a lot of twists and turns. It was very by the book, and it definitely fit into the way I do this overall, you know, that overall strategy and timing of the various triggers. So let me just show you how it fit in, the context that this fit in. Okay, so if you'll remember, in the pre-pre-launch, we're all about identifying the offer, gathering objections, and the proof. Of course, with this type of an offer, where they built out a fairly extensive web, you know, based system where people can build their own websites and stuff, that's not something that gets built overnight. There's a lot of work that goes into that, a lot of planning, all this, you know, super fancy software and stuff like that. You can't just go and change the offer overnight based on the survey that you do or the questions and the comments that are coming in 30 days before the launch. But you are able to tweak the offer a bit. Like, I mean, we went in, one of the main things in the offer is what's the guarantee? So we were tweaking the guarantee, we were tweaking the pricing, we were tweaking, there was the ongoing monthly pricing and the setup pricing. So we're looking at all that stuff. So, I mean, there were slight modifications to the offer based on what we, you know, the feedback that we got. There was also, we added bonuses, we added the teleseminars. So, you know, and there was other bonuses, like information-based bonuses that we're able to add or subtract or emphasize in one way or another. So we did tweak the offer a little bit. But this is very much about gathering the objections going into the launch and gathering sort of the overall mindset, the aspirations, the frustrations. Now, since Brian was very tied into this market, and since they had sold this product once before at a live seminar, they had allowed some initial beta testers to get set up. They had a good idea of what the real frustrations were, what the hot points were, what the aspirations were. But still, it was good to go back and touch people with and ask them for their opinion, both to get some more data and also get them involved, get the interaction going, get a little reciprocity going. So this is what they identified. The top desire, of course, for these loan officers was to make more money, but also a big one was not to have to work quite so hard, because a lot of these guys, a lot of people they were selling to were working crazy long hours, and they were thinking their way to make more money was to keep on working more and more hours. So they want to make more money. They want to have to work, you know, not as many hours, not work as hard to make that money. They're always after more leads. That's the driver for this business, is getting more leads that they can sell to. And they want less time involved in generating those leads. Now, they have some big time frustrations. First of all, this whole internet thing's going on. They know there's money to be made on there. They know a few loan officers have figured it out. But they just don't know how to get there. It's all complicated. They aren't tech people. They aren't necessarily all that online. You know, they're probably doing some research online. They're using the internet for some things. They're emailing, but they're not tech people. They're not about to sit there and figure out how to build an online business. So they know there's some money out there, but they don't know how to get there. They're not tech savvy. They don't know how to put up a website. If they have a site, a lot of them might have a site, but it's either not effective, they're not pulling traffic, they're not converting any traffic they have into leads, or they just don't know whether it's effective or not. They've got a website up, someone put up the site for them, they don't know if it's doing anything. They just know they're paying a bill for it every month. And also there's this frustration where a lot of the people they talk to are webmasters or they're these tech people. They're speaking in a completely a different language. And so they just don't understand them. They don't know if they're being taken advantage of. It's like taking your car into the mechanic and he starts talking to you about, you know, something in your engine and you have no clue what they're talking about. And you don't know if you just have no frame of reference. You don't know if you're being taken. You don't know if they're just cheating you. You just don't know. And so this is a big frustration for them, is they're, you know, sort of at the mercy of these tech people when they just didn't speak the language and didn't have a clue, and they don't even know how to judge whether the site's effective, whether it's a waste of money. Some of them probably are paying thousands of dollars for very simple sites that aren't ever going to make them any money. And even if they're not, they have this inkling that they might be. So there's a big frustration there. So, and now you'll notice as we went through this launch, we just pounded on these frustrations and aspirations time after time after time. In fact, the launch really starts off right off the bat giving them this PDF report. PDF report just hits them over the head with these aspirations and frustrations right from the very beginning. In fact, if you even look at the very first email we sent out, that was the initial gathering the questions, the surveying type of thing, we were even hitting those aspirations and those frustrations at that point. So basically this launch was this lengthy process of just continually going back and hitting these the aspiration, but also these frustrations over and over and over. And then a gradual education of what they need to look for in an effective website that's going to market for them, and in an education in terms of all the stuff they need. And basically, this system, the Mortgage Web Success System, had been designed to hit, you know, to give them the product they needed, which, of course, also answered all those objections and answered all those frustrations. So when I say it's a simple launch, you might look and say, boy, we sent out a whole bunch of emails. I didn't even count up exactly. I think there's probably 14, 15, 16 different emails, plus a couple of videos, plus the one special report. But if you look at it, there weren't a lot of twists and turns. We just kept on hitting these frustrations over and over and over. Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't a very complicated sale. So the start of the pre-launch, remember, is you focus on the aspirations and the frustrations. And if you go back and look at the special report that we did, we basically, that's all it was about. It starts off and it just hits one frustration, you know, the trouble point one after another, and it just so happened there our product answered every single one of those. Another thing, if you look at the actual report I gave you, I don't have the final one that we produced. I just have the initial part I created. There wasn't any call to action at the end. In general, you want some type of call to action. Often in a launch, that's simply sending them back to the blog to make comments. But you usually want some type of call to action at the report. And as I was going back through it in preparing this video, I realized that we left off the call to action on that report. It was later added, but I don't have the final version to give to you. So as we went forward in the mid pre-launch here, we released a screen capture video, which we often refer to as Camtasia. Camtasia is the program that is a Windows program that we use to create the screen capture video. You can get that at techsmith.com. Let me just go ahead and type that in. At the moment, there is not a Mac version of Camtasia. It should be coming out sometime in the future. So if you're on a Mac, you need to use a program called either ScreenFlow, which is available from ScreenFlow.com, or iShowU. And I'm not sure where that's available, what their website is, but it's the letter I, then show, the word show, and then the letter U. So it's iShowU. Is the name of the program. That's actually what I'm using right now to create this. But screen capture video, we basically walk them through the Mortgage Web Success System. So a lot of times you might want to use full motion video where you can actually see a photo, you know, or not a photo, but see an image, typically a talking head type image. But in this case, since we're demonstrating a web system, we used screen capture video. Screen capture video in a lot of ways is easier to do. So basically, we got into the selling of the system pretty early in this pre-launch. Often you want to, you know, you might be doing a stealth launch where you spend more time talking about those frustrations and aspirations, but you don't really tell them what's coming. If you go back and look right in the special report, we basically told them what was coming. And then, you know, we told them we had this great system. It answered all those trouble points. And it was going to be better, the best thing since sliced bread, because it gave them exactly what they needed. Then we came back and we actually walked through the system in the video. Now, the week before launch, we shifted. We were already focusing on the product to some extent up here, but then we shifted to a very strong focus on the product. The emails and the blog posts focused on the key objections, which the two major blog posts that we did was dealing with the idea of traffic and how do you get web traffic to your website, because a lot of people might say, well, yeah, website's really good and that's all cool and great and stuff, and you're going to give me this fancy groovy website, but how am I going to get traffic to the website? So we created a blog post that answered that objection, and then we also had another blog post about the price objection. Price is almost always an objection. We turned that around and said, this isn't a cost, this is a profit center. So it's not a cost center, it's a profit center, which is, if you're doing anything business related or making money related, that's a great way to go, is you show them how it's an investment that's going to make them money. We use scarcity, We drilled in the first 100. We were pretty vague on why they wanted to be the first 100, but we drilled in pretty hard throughout that week that there is this big time scarcity. And then we, a couple different times, we were anchoring at higher price points. So we were talking about higher prices, much higher prices than what we're actually going to charge for the system. And, you know, often when you're anchoring on prices or even anchoring on scarcity, you know, you could be taught, you could start talking about scarcity and talk, you know, here we talked about 100, but we could have talked about any number. And in effect, we didn't have this hard limit of 100 for the scarcity, but we kept on anchoring on the 100. It was really the 100 got the quick startup and 100 got the teleseminar bonus. It wasn't like we were limited to 100 systems, but a lot of people reading this might have thought that we were limited to 100 sales. So we anchored on that scarcity number of 100, and then we anchored on higher price points. So just by talking about higher prices, and especially in the days before the launch, you can get people thinking it's going to be more expensive. And then when you drop them on the sales letter, it's less expensive. Then it makes it like an impulse purchase. Also, when you anchor on higher prices, even if they don't expect to pay those higher prices, if you anchor on the higher prices, then your price is going to feel and seem lower in comparison. So then on launch day, we did this typical, we came out with a very simple email, just go buy now. We did scarcity and social proof. Actually, we didn't, in the initial launch email, we didn't really hit that. It was just go buy now. But then later on launch day, we came back with the tsunami moment, which is we sold out of those first 100 almost immediately. So that creates some social proof, but then we gave them the second chance to get the recording of the bonus teleseminar. So the tsunami moment is this whole idea of where, you know, things are going crazy. So many people want to buy this thing. Orders are pouring in. We're barely keeping on top of that thing. And all of that is social proof. It's showing that other people want the system and are buying the system and are happy with the system. And actually that bit about being happy in the system is almost, it's implied under the surface. But the fact is, you know, you're not alone. You're not the only person out there that's buying this thing. You know, you're not the only sucker out there. There's a lot of other people that are jumping on board and are believing everything that we've been telling them. And of course, when I say that, when I say sucker and believing everything, this is a great product. You know, it is a great product and people are going to have great success with it. The people buying it were not suckers and they were not getting taken in. But whenever anyone's sitting there looking to buy your stuff, that's what they're wondering. They're wondering if they should believe you. You know, you're publishing online. You could be anyone. They don't know who you are. So this is all about building up proof. So it's all about building up this proof, this overwhelming social proof that other people are making this purchase. Other people are happy with you. Other people are believing you. And when your prospects see that other people are believing you, other people are buying, they feel much better about it. So that's what social proof is all about. And the tsunami moment is all about coming back and saying, yeah, lots of other people are buying. Now, what we did was a lot of times people are sensitive to the idea that if they miss out on the bonuses, then they don't want to buy because now they're getting, it's almost like a product that's not as good. So, but what we did here was, yes, the bonus goes away, but now we're going to give you something that is almost as good. You're going to get the recording. So then after the tsunami moment, in the day after the launch, the next couple days, it was a social proof message. We came back with the email that was thanking all the buyers. That's a little bit of just a likability, interaction. It's a really powerful technique to write this email to the people that have already purchased from you, but it goes out to everyone. It's really, really powerful to go and say, thanks, everyone. We're so excited. We've already got you set up. We're already hearing good things back from you. It's so great to have you on board. Where you're showing the thankfulness to those people, that makes you likable. And that it's also social proof. People, you know, see, you know, it's almost like they're eavesdropping in this conversation you're having with the buyers, even though they're not a buyer. So I love those type of emails. Go back and take a look how we did that. And then there's also, you know, most of the emails written to the people that have already bought. But then there's a, oh, by the way, if you haven't bought yet, well, you can be like all these other cool kids that have already bought. So there's often, you know, in the days right after the launch, I'll send an email along that lines. I've also done it as well as an audio, where we recorded an audio thanking people. And that was very, very effective. Okay, now as we got closer to the end of the launch, then we shift to the focus on the end of the launch, and we really start to amp up the scarcity message. So our scarcity was the price is going up, bonuses are going away. You know, those are two of the classic, scarcity plays. The third classic is the product's going off the market. So here we were going into the end of the launch, saying price is going up, bonuses are going away, act now. So we started that about 48 hours in advance, you know, just textbook stuff. And it goes from being sort of like a gentle reminder, like I hate to bring this up, but we're almost at the end of launch and this is going to happen. It goes from that. At the 48 to 72 hours beforehand, you'll start to mention it. At 24 hours, you give pretty hard, you know, hard-nosed. You only got 24 hours to act. And the last day, it's often goes to this cover my butt. You know, I know I've already reminded you guys of this, and I don't want to be a nag, but I'm just doing this to cover my butt. I almost always will take that tack on the last day, because if there's something everyone hates, it's being nagged about stuff. So, you know, if you've told people about this at the 48-hour mark and the 24-hour mark, then they're getting sick of hearing about it. But you do have to give that final reminder, because people do procrastinate. It's amazing how every launch I do, we still end up with this mad rush at the end. So generally, the whole scarcity play at the end, just one more time, it's anywhere from 72 hours to 48 hours, it's this first mention of scarcity. Then 24 hours is a pretty hard-nosed mention. It's like, you got to act now. Time's running out. And then the final one on the last day is the old, I don't want to be a nag. I'm just covering my butt. But, you know, you got this deadline. You have to act. So then right at the end of the launch, we did throw in a bit of a twist. And remember, you know, this is just, here we're starting to focus on the scarcity. And now it's just hardcore. Something bad's going to happen if you don't act. And we did the old double scarcity pump. And this is where we changed the scarcity play right at the last second. We were going into it saying the price is going up, bonuses are going away. But then we came back and we said, you know what? We sold out so many of these and we've gotten such a huge response that we have to sort of pull back a little bit and focus on our current customers. So we are actually going to pull the product off the market. So now this ups the scarcity to a large degree. I mean, price going up is a big scarcity play. Bonuses going away is a good scarcity play. Price going up is a better one. Products going off the market and the prices going up is very, very powerful. So right at the end, we turned up the heat in a big way. But we also said, because we're changing the rules of the game, because we're taking it off the market, we are going to give you an extension. I think we gave them a 48-hour extension. What you in essence with this double scarcity pump is you're creating a second deadline, because we announced this on it was closing down Friday at midnight, and Friday morning we came out with, you know, so that meant, you know, Wednesday, Thursday we're starting to talk about the end of the launch. We're starting to talk about the scarcity. We get people acting. A lot of them have acted by Friday morning, Friday midday. Friday morning, we come out with that, you know, that the last chance email. And then Friday midday, when a lot of them already acted, then we say, oh, you know what? We're changing the rules of the game. And because we're changing the rules of the game, we're going to give you another 48 hours. That gives you another whole deadline to start focusing on. And a second deadline will bring in a second rush of orders. These deadlines are amazing in how they bring in this massive rush. But the bottom line is people will miss that first deadline. You know, they'll either be offline, they'll be on vacation, they'll forget about it, or it's not going to be the right time for them, or they just haven't gotten around to it, they didn't open your emails, whatever, they'll miss that first deadline. So giving them a second deadline can be very, very effective. And so, and of course, we had this reason why. The reason why is because we've changed it from raising the price. Now we're actually going to pull the thing off the market, which is, you know, even tougher scarcity. And this is very, very effective. And so this double scarcity problem, the switching the rules right at the end of the game, but, you know, giving them a break because no one likes rules being changed in the middle of the game. So, you know, you're being a nice guy coming back and giving them a break. Also, there's social proof here. The social proof is so many people have bought this thing that we're going to have to pull it off the market to, you know, temporarily to service all the new buyers. So hopefully this, I gave you some context for this launch. If you look at it, it's very similar. Actually, let me pause this thing and pull this map back together so you can see it all together. There we go. Okay, so, I mean, if you'll just take a look at this, the way we did this was textbook, you know, by the book of how I laid all this stuff out for you in this one. I mean, it's basically the same thing we did up here. It was textbook. I don't want to open this all up and it'll probably give you a headache trying to follow the whole thing. But basically, it was just classic textbook stuff. We figured out up here in the pre-launch what their frustrations and aspirations were, and then we just hit them over and over and over. And, you know, initially more about their frustrations and aspirations. As we got closer, we focused more on the product. Then we just did classic scarcity and social proof on launch day, came back with more proof with the tsunami moment. Then went from there until we started to focus on, you know, really built up the scarcity at the end of the launch. And then we did the little twist with the old double scarcity pump. We ended up with a very, very successful launch. A lot of steps, lots of email going out, but really a very, very simple process. If you just break it down, if you look at the plan we had and the way we broke it down email by email.